Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the ALS Association Greater Philadelphia Chapter podcast. My name is Tony Heil, the Director of Communications here at the Greater Philadelphia Chapter. If you've listened to our past podcast here at the ALS Association, you've heard from people with ALS, walk team leaders, people who are advocates, researchers, and people who help with patient care services, showing a wide array of different ways that people are getting involved in the fight against ALS. Today, I'm excited to bring to you one of my coworkers, a director of events, or events queen, as she says on her cubicle, Allison Walker, and Jim DeAngelis, who helps to lead the Lakewood Walk to Defeat ALS, and both of them have been involved with this cause for over a decade. As always, if you want to get involved in the fight against ALS, you can join us at www.alsphiladelphia.org. And if you want to get involved in this particular walk, there's still time. Even after the walk, you can help out, and that's at www.lakewoodwalktodefeatals.org, or find any of our walks at www.gpcwalktodefeatals.org. That's GPC for Greater Philadelphia Chapter. As mentioned, we have some two great guests today. They're going to provide a lot of experience and hopefully have some fun and tell you how you can help out in many different ways. So, Jim and Allison, thanks for joining our podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having me on today.
Well, thank you for being able to make some time. I know that the baseball season started, and for those who don't know, because I didn't mention it yet, Jim DeAngelis is with the Lakewood Blue Claws, who have been supporting the cause for a long time.
Yeah, actually 15 years. This is our 15th season, and we've been involved with the ALS Association of Greater Philadelphia since the inception of our team in the autumn of 2000.
So that this cause has really been ingrained in you from the start then, huh?
Well, before coming to Lakewood in September of 2000, I worked for the parent club, the Philadelphia Phillies, for three seasons. And that was actually my first taste of the fan fest that they'd have there every year, and got involved that way. And then moving over from Philadelphia to Lakewood in the autumn of 2000, we had a member of your staff come out and speak with me about possibly doing something here in Lakewood to assist with the ALS Association and some of their fundraising opportunities. That's how it all began.
So you've been involved for a long time. Allison's been involved since when did you start, Allison?
I started in 2002, so I'm coming up on 13 years in November.
So Jim's actually been around longer than you, which there's not a lot of people that have been around longer than you.
Yeah, Jim actually has been around longer than I have. And Jim was one of my first people that I met. I started in November, and we started really looking at putting together the Lakewood Walk shortly after that, probably in that January of 2003. And Jim was on the committee from the beginning, so he was one of my first committee members here, and we've been working together ever since then.
So Jim, you had been doing a lot before Allison got here, kind of laying the framework for what the relationship would become.
Well, Tony, you could say that, yes.
I will say that.
Like I said, we started with our very first event for ALS in May of 2001, and at that time, we did what we call our ALS Celebrity Waiter event, and believe it or not, we're going to be having our 15th in May, specifically
yep.
The 27th. So it's been a long-standing, very successful fundraiser for the ALS Association. Well, the basic concept is, after our game, it's a day game. After a game, I get all 25 players to go to a local restaurant, and they act as celebrity waiters, and they wait on our fans and guests, and 100% of the tips that they generate get donated to the ALS Association, along with 20%. The restaurant is kind enough to donate 20% of the bill also, and I can honestly say over 14 years, this one event has raised well over $100,000 for the ALS Association of Greater Philadelphia. At the time, the very first one that we held, I met a woman who was diagnosed with ALS and got to a strong friendship built with her. And soon after that, she started to talk to me about organizing a walk over here at the Jersey Shore. and that's basically how the ALS Walk to Beat was born here at the Jersey Shore. And I believe, if my memory serves me correct, Allison, this is our 12th walk. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Yeah, and it was all born out of a lady who was diagnosed with ALS coming to me and sitting down and getting Allison involved, and that's how the event was started. And we did it on the boardwalk in Seaside Heights, and then every year the walk seems to grow bigger and bigger and bigger each year. And now we are holding it, I believe, for the third year here at our ballpark in Lakewood at First Energy Park.
And before we go further, when and where is the Celebrity Waiter event this year?
Okay, this year our Celebrity Waiter event is going to be at the Tuscan House Restaurant. It's on Hooper Avenue in Toms River. It's across the street from the Ocean County Mall. And the Tuscan House happens to be a longtime sponsor of the Blue Claws, but this is the first year we've decided to hold it at their restaurant. Over the previous 14 years, we've held it at four, possibly five different locations. If you count our ballpark, for a certain stretch, I think 3 or 4 years, we held it right here at the ballpark because our executive chef wanted to give back to the AL Association because his mother-in-law had been struck by this terrible disease, and they were very good to her, and he wanted to give back. And this was his way of giving back by preparing a wonderful event and meal here at First Energy Park. But Sandy has since moved on, and when that happened, we didn't have a chef to prepare a great meal, so we went and moved it back off-site again. And that's basically the logistics of how the event has evolved through the years, Tony.
And I've been to probably all but the first or second one. And it's just a really, really fun event. Jim does a great job. He is truly the spearhead of the event. He's got a great team backing him with the Blue Claws. And Jim is too modest to say that he's definitely the driving force behind it. We're very lucky to have Jim there to make sure that all the players show up and don't drop too many plates. And they have a very fun challenge amongst the players to get that highest tip. So we've got that little fun competition, and there's a fun auction that goes along with it. And it's just a really great event. And if you're a fan of the Blue Claws or you're a supporter of the ALS Association or both, it's a really fun night.
And I was talking to, in a previous contest podcast with Nina Kelly, about a lot of these events, even if you don't have a connection to ALS, it's still fun.
Yep.
You're going to go out to eat anyway. There's great food there. And you know, if you're going to go and spend $20, $40, $50 to eat, do it at this event where you're going to have a better time than you will any place else, right?
Absolutely.
So what's it like, Jim, coming from the Phillies, which has such a strong connection to ALS, and now with the Blue Claws, affiliate with the Phillies, and seeing this amazing connection that the whole team has to the cause? Because it wouldn't work if, not that you're not amazing, but it wouldn't work if it was just you and just trying to like drag people by their feet to do this. It's obviously a very a team-oriented thing to support the cause.
Well, Tony, this is right. In so many words, my time with the Phillies back in the late 90s gave me my first taste not only of your organization, but the individuals and families that were affected by this horrible disease. And I got to know some people, and it's actually quite easy to get involved and formulate an event, get other people involved when you're passionate about something. And the driving force for me through the years has always been I get the opportunity to talk to the patients with ALS and their families, and every person to a person says wonderful things about your organization. So it makes it easy to do the Celebrity Waiter event. It makes it easy to formulate the big walk when you know that all the money raised goes to an organization that truly helps their constituents. And that's so important for all the wonderful work that Allison and Jim Pinciotti has done through the years. And because of that partnership, that's what drives me and keeps me inspired to keep moving along and doing good things for your nonprofit.
Well, we really appreciate it.
I was going to say, and it's great to see the support from the entire team as well. Front office staff is there helping to make this go smoothly. All of the players are there. The coaching staff actually works the bar. They're the bartenders for the evening. And, you know, you can see that it's something that it's important to the team to be involved in this as well. And that's a really great, says a lot about the Blue Claws and their organization.
And the Blue Claws are a lot of fun to have for the walk. It's a terrific walk or location.
Yeah, it's great. It's a fabulous walk location.
And it's easy to walk. Buster comes.
Yep.
He takes some good pictures. We are able to get a lot of good pictures from there. It's obviously very convenient for the patient families that come. Not a lot of hills or bumps along the road. So thanks for that, Jim. I'm sure that was all you.
Well, Allison happened to say it. I'm very modest. It's not that I'm modest. It's just that so much of what gets done is truly the people behind me, my staff, the players, the manager, the coaches of the team. It becomes what they say, a total team effort. So it's not that I'm modest. I just like to give the credit where the credit is due. I'm just one person, and I couldn't do it without the wonderful assistance through the years of all the players, the staff, personnel, and, of course, your fine organization as well.
Well, speaking of all the people that have helped you, you mentioned that the people at the Blue Claws help make it easy for you and your connection makes it easy for you. But a lot of that groundwork started before Allison was here. And not that your job's easy. I'm not going to tell anyone it's easy. But having that support that exists in a location beforehand makes it a lot easier for you to be able to organize a walk.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I mentioned in the beginning of this podcast was that, Jim was one of my first committee members. We had the idea to do the walk in the Seaside Heights area with the brainchild of a patient that really wanted it in that particular area. And she worked to put together a committee, and Jim was on that committee. And Jim really came in full-fledged, got the support of the Lakewood Blue Claws behind the walk. And he just really, I think the reason why we were able to be as successful in that area as we have is because of the strength of the committee and their commitment. And, you know, it's always been, I was much younger then. I definitely was much younger, Jim, and, you know, new to the game of working with a committee. And, you know, having Jim on the committee was fabulous because he made it an enjoyable experience. And I believe that our relationship with the Blue Claws is truly a partnership. And I believe the relationship with the committee is truly a friendship. And so it really made my job easy. You can say it.
Well, but... You take the example from Seaside, because it was one of the first walks that you did.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have committees involved in all of our walks.
Yes.
And for different reasons, some of them are stronger than others because they've been around longer. People, you know, that should be the case. But you also have the other events, like the golf outing, hot chocolate, and that have committees as well. So how much of this do you take an example to those other events and say, well, here's what worked here, and use it as an example and kind of learn from this committee or take it from the other places too?
We do that a lot. We do have ideas that come from one committee that work in other committees. I sometimes wonder if my committees get tired of me saying, well, you know, in Lakewood we do this, or in Lehigh Valley we do this. But there is a lot of interaction, and there's a lot that you can learn from one committee to the other. You know, I think that from the get-go, this particular committee was always super strong, and so I was able to implement things that I did with that committee and with newer committees as we were developing them for new walks and also new events. So there was a lot that we learned. I think we learned a lot together our first year.
Absolutely.
Because you took on big events like Hot Chocolate didn't exist before this, right?
No.
That happened afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So that event probably wouldn't have been as successful if people hadn't learned how to organize well from events like this.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we learned a lot together as a committee the first 2 years, and we're still together. So that should tell you something.
And there's a lot of people that go to the Lakewood Walk, which was previously at Seaside Heights, and then they've gone to other events and taken their expertise. Maybe they've done all the other walks as a volunteer. Mm-hmm. Some people have had walk teams in almost all of the walks. And so they take from that. So, Jim and Allison, what's it like knowing that what you do in this one location, which raises over $100,000 in a walk, what's it like knowing that that goes further than just that one day?
Well, you know, when you host an event like this, and you raise well over $100,000 for patient services and health for the families affected by this dreaded disease, you learn to also use it as a tool to create awareness. And when you're in a public venue like the Seaside Heights Boardwalk, where there are other families and individuals just happening to stroll the boardwalk that day or happen to come down on a Saturday just to maybe take in the salt air or see the ocean, there's a lot of people that see this going on and they wonder, what is this all about? When you have hundreds and hundreds of people strolling along the boardwalk as we did, you can imagine the tool that that becomes, Tony, for further getting the word out about this organization and Lou Gehrig's disease. The only reason we had left the Seaside Heights Boardwalk was because of Superstorm Sandy in October of 2012 that wiped out the boardwalk. So we found that we needed an alternate location, and we kind of worked it out so that we were able to have it here at First Energy Park. And so many of the walkers and the individuals and families affected by ALS liked the venue so much that we just decided to keep it here, not necessarily for any other reason other than convenience sake. We have a wonderful selection of parking on site here. The infrastructure to get in and out is very easy. We have plenty of bathrooms. We have cover in case the weather is a little inclement, which it was one year, and it just seems to be a better fit now for our walkers, our volunteers, and your organization as well. So we're happy to host you, and the partnership that we've had now for 15 years with your organization just seems to grow well beyond what I ever thought it would be when I was first approached back in the autumn of 2000 to do something. It's just been an incredible ride for me.
Oh, that's really great, and I mean, obviously it takes a lot to continue working on something like this for 15 years with your volunteer support. And that's why you were named a Volunteer of the Month a long time ago, one of our original ones. You said about how we continued on, well, not we, but the teams continued on after Superstorm Sandy. ALS takes people's strength away in many ways. What was that experience like for both of you after that storm? Changing the location, knowing how that event had affected all these families, and seeing their family strength of being able to come back from all of this to continue on with this walk.
You know, Tony, it was a very challenging time here at the Jersey Shore for so many people. I myself lost my home in the storm. I live over there in Seaside. I lost my home. It was a very stressful time for me to get up and go to work and try to function when, you know, you have no place to live, and you still have to carry on the mission. And there was some doubts as to whether we would be able to have it in the spring of 2013 because of the logistics involved with not having a boardwalk. But as a committee, our wonderful committee, Allison's put together, decided that, you know, we have to push forward with this. This is a legacy that was started by Tappy Ryman back in 2003, and we wanted to continue it. So, unbeknownst to me, having it here was, and I was a little bit nervous that people would, you know, take the change and take the change well and want to come here because there's so much to offer on the coast with the boardwalk and the rides and everything else. But my fears were soon allayed when I saw the wonderful response that we got that day and how happy and satisfied people were with our facility here and everything that we were able to do to make it another successful walk. And here we are, into our third year here for the walk. It will be held on May 2nd, Saturday, May 2nd, which is 2 weeks from tomorrow. And I just can't believe that it's rolling around again. And before you know it, 4 weeks after that will be our 15th annual ALS Celebrity Waiter. And I was joking with one of my staff members recently that there's very, very little that we have done here at the Blue Claws 15 times. When you think about it, things come and things go, but one of the few constants that we've had now for 15 years is this event that we do for your organization. It's something I'm very proud of.
Yeah. You should be.
Well, we're proud that we're able to keep people like you and the team involved. So Allison, what was it like for you after? Because it was a tough time. I remember I was here only a year or so after that.
Yeah.
And I know we weren't sure what we're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, as Jim said, we knew what shape the area was in. We knew folks who had lost their homes. We knew folks that were just trying to figure out how they were going to get by day to day. And we didn't know if people would have the strength to put together a team, the strength to come and walk, the strength to fundraise. And it for me, you know, walk day, it was absolutely amazing to see the folks in their team t-shirts showing up to walk. It was not the best day as far as the weather. That was the one day where the weather was a little non-cooperative.
Just mean, right? After the storm.
Yeah, after the storm to have more bad weather. But it was just amazing to see all the folks. They still walked outside. It was raining and they, you know, put their hoods up and walked outside. And at the end of the day, they proved that the Jersey Shore was back. And the Jersey Shore was, you know, on the road to recovery. And that was, I think, where you knew, like, hey, we're going to beat this. We're going to do this.
As we go into talking about how that affects the actual walkers and people with ALS, I just want to remind you that you can join the walk, and or even if you can't come on the day of, support a walk team at www.lakewoodwalktodefeatals.org. Every donation from $5 to $500 or $5,000, which would be nice, all makes a big difference. And there's a lot of walk teams there you can be inspired by. It's on May 2nd. Walk kicks off at 10 a.m., right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And like I said, even if you can't go, though we want to see you there, there's a lot of teams you can support. But as we go into the walk teams themselves, Jim, you said that you were inspired early on. But what's it like seeing them, because this is an empowering thing for everybody, especially the people with ALS and their families, to see a walk become successful. And I'm sure that it was even more empowering for them seeing how the walk just actually grew after this horrible storm.
Well, I guess you could say that, Tony. It's like I said, it's been a labor of love for all of us on the committee, some of whom have been with us since the inception. Some people come, some people go. For whatever reasons, people leave the area, they move. We get somebody new on our committee who lost a spouse or a grandparent to this dreaded disease, and that's how they get involved. And I think Allison does a great job of, once people get involved, of keeping the inspiration going, and they do appreciate all that we do. She and her staff, when they come, and set up, it's just amazing how professional they are. They come in, it's like the white tornado. I tease them, it's like a white tornado. They come in, everything gets set up, and at the end of the walk, when people leave, everything gets, you would never know that there was a huge walk with hundreds and hundreds of people, because everything is left exactly like it was found. And that's a tribute to your organization and Allison's work, her hard work, her staff. And it's real easy, as I said earlier in the interview, it's real easy to be involved, because I constantly hear from the patients and the patients' families what a great organization you are and how much help and assistance you bring to them. It's easy to stay inspired.
Yeah, so I know a lot of the teams, we know like Steady Eddie's crew, mm-hmm. and the Champions, those are ones I remember from last year, and Spence for Hire, a lot of them, whether they have a person with ALS or not, they, in that team, or maybe they're doing it in memory of or in honor of, they get a lot of power out of it, no matter how much they raise. What's that experience like? And what was it like the first walk, Allison, even too, from then till now, like seeing those teams and what they're able to do?
You know, the first walk, you're always sort of holding your breath, making sure that everybody, you know, hope they come. You don't know if they're going to come. And then 9 o'clock, when registration starts, few people dribble in and you're thinking, oh gosh, there's only a few people here. And as the morning goes on and on, you start to see the hundreds and hundreds of people that are there. And you just, it's, for me, I think that is when I all of a sudden look up from doing something and I realize that there's 700 people, 1,000 people, or at the Greater Philadelphia Walk, 7,000 people standing there when, you know, it wasn't that many just 20 minutes before. So that's always sort of one of those moments where I think, okay, this, you know, the walk's going to happen. It's going to be a great day. Even if it's raining, it's still going to be a great day. For me, so many of the walk teams that started on the Seaside Heights Boardwalk, that first walk, are still with us. They might be walking in memory of their loved one now, but they've done this walk with us 12 years. This will be our third. This is actually be, I think we've done it 12 years. And I think this will be our 13th walk. And they've been there for everyone. I can think there's people that I see every year, and it's a reunion of sorts every mm-hmm. year. The folks who, I see them once a year, but they know me, I know them. There's a big hug, between yourself and the team captain and their walkers. And, you know, that makes you want to keep coming back. I love to see so many of those faces that, you know, like I said, I see them once a year, but it's always, you know, gets you right in the feels.
Well, and a lot of them you see more than once a year, because some of them come to the Phillies Festival, mm-hmm. some of them come to other walks.
Yes.
Some of them, like the committee, you see a lot.
Yeah.
So you end up obviously you've got a long-term friendship with Jim, but you end up getting a lot of personal connections with a lot of these families.
Oh, absolutely.
And the team members.
Absolutely.
And I think people don't necessarily realize that, because they hear events queen, or they hear fundraiser and they think that you're just here to raise money, but it's a personal thing
after
your first event.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're asking these people to help support the ALS Association. Yes, that is, you know, the primary function of the walks is to raise the money that helps fund the programs and services we provide, as well as research. But, you know, when you're walking, we like to say that we walk this journey with the families. And when you're walking the journey with a family, whether you're on the patient services end or you're on the development side, you can't help but build a relationship. And that, I think, is one of the things that we're so fortunate with, and what keeps us coming back. I think that's, you know, Jim talks about, you know, he has relationships with so many of those patients and patient families, because not only do they come to the walk, but they also support the Celebrity Waiter event. Mm-hmm. When I first started going to the Celebrity Waiter event a long time ago, it was a lot of Blue Claws fans, and it still is a lot of Blue Claws fans. But it's also a lot of people who have a connection to ALS, and their loved one or themselves will come to the event. And so it's really about the relationships, and I see the relationships amongst the families and amongst the patients at our walks. People connect there because it's you see somebody who's going through the same thing you're going through.
Yeah, we talk about that. We have a lot of patient services programs, which is what the walks support.
Mm-hmm.
$1.8 million throughout all the walks last year, which is a good sense of pride for everyone on the team.
Absolutely.
And it is a big team effort. And actually not that big of a staff team, though. All things considered, with how much work goes into it. There are 4 events team members. Now, there's more staff that go into it, but it's not like it's 100,000 people that are doing it. But what's it like knowing about all the staff that are getting involved, and that there's a there is a big community aspect to it. The patient services department that they're supporting has the clinics, has assistive technology. But one of the things they talk about is the support groups that they do. A lot of the social workers hold support groups in different localities, so people can come, like that community. But that community exists at the walk as well. It's almost like, in addition to a fundraising event, a patient services event, because they can keep that community spirit going.
Absolutely, absolutely. As you know, as I've mentioned, I mean, I've seen in some of our other walks, I see a friendly rivalry amongst teams, you know, where the patients who are involved. You know, they know each other through support groups, and they know each other through other avenues of the association, and they really compete to be the top team, and it's fun to watch them, you know, sort of do that, and it's just fun to see people connect. Sometimes with this disease, you feel like you may be going through it alone. And when you go to an event where there's 1,000 people walking to support those with ALS, like you'll see at the Lakewood Walk, or when you go to an event where there's 7,500 people walking to support ALS, like you'll see at the Greater Philadelphia Walk, you know that you're not doing this alone, that people know and understand what you're going through and are there to support you.
And Jim, speaking of the community aspect, Allison was talking about how connected the team is, and you were talking about that. I think minor league baseball is very connected to the community. Like she said, like the celebrity waiter event, so many of the fans come out, and obviously a lot of our patient families become fans, even if they weren't from the area. Do you think that this connection to ALS just helps root this great team to the community even more?
Well, Tony, it's certainly nice when you're at the event and people come up to you and thank you for what you're doing. And I got a great story to tell. Four years ago, we were having the celebrity waiter event. And at the time, we had a young catcher here by the name of Cameron Rupp, R-U-P-P. Well, right now, Cameron is the backup catcher at the Phillies. He backs up Carlos Ruiz, mm-hmm. and he's on the major league roster. And Cameron came through here, I believe, back in 2010. And he's from Texas, and he shows up at the celebrity waiter event, all gung-ho, ready to work, and he hands me a personal check for $1,000. And I said, "That's great, Cameron. What's this all about?" And he goes, "Jim, I appreciate what you're doing. I lost my grandfather to ALS several years ago, and this is my own personal donation to ALS to fight the disease because I know what my family went through in losing my grandfather." And now here it is 5 years later, and Cameron has worked his way up through the minor league system, and now he's playing on the major league roster for the Philadelphia Phillies, and he's a player whose family has been affected by ALS. So my point is, you never know where you are or who you are or where you're going to be when someone comes up to you that has been affected by ALS disease. And it's just a very touching story. He's a wonderful young man. I'm very happy to see that he's made it to the major leagues and is doing well because he's a believer in what you do, what your organization does. And having gone through it himself, being touched personally, he stepped up to the plate, as they say in baseball terms. And not only did he do the work, he put his money where his mouth is. And I thought that was just a wonderful thing that Cameron was able to do.
Well, it sounds like he was a major league person before he was a major league player.
Absolutely, Tony. Well stated, my friend. Well stated.
And, you know, I was just thinking as you were saying that, you know, every year we had the Phillies Festival. Like you said, he'll be there signing autographs. And we have a patient that comes and meet the players and the staff and talks to them about what it's like living with ALS, because a lot of them, and this is their first time experiencing it, or they take a whole day out of their busy rotation to participate in the Phillies Festival. We appreciate it. And for a long time, none of the players knew anything about ALS. And now with people that came up through, you know, the Blue Claws to the Phillies or through other minor league teams that have been involved with us, now they're the ones that are there, so when our patients come, they already have that connection. So they're infecting the team in a good way with this great cause, making the connection to the Phillies that much stronger.
Well, absolutely, and I always tell Allison and kind of tease her from time to time about this, but when the players come here, this is usually their first stop along the journey of professional baseball. And when they come here, they're kids between the ages of 17 and 21, basically. And they have no idea. They have no idea who Lou Gehrig is, let alone what Lou Gehrig's disease is. It's a generational thing. But when they come here, the year that they spent here with me, I instruct them. I give them information about why we do this, what's involved, and this is really actually their first taste of what the ALS Association does, what the disease is about, how it affects people, and that there is no cure. And they come away from the event not only feeling good that they did something well for a couple of hours by waiting on tables and taking away dirty dishes and signing autographs for fans and posing for pictures, but I feel proud in the fact that for 14 years, these guys come away knowing that this is something good that they've done, and as they continue their journey through the minor leagues before they reach the Philadelphia Phillies, they've already got a good sense of what the ALS Association is about, what the disease is about, how it affects people, and it's just not always about playing baseball. Yeah. We're able to reach them in so many ways, not only from a professional standpoint, but from a community standpoint, and I'm real proud of so many of the guys through the years that have been able to step up and help you guys out with this event.
And while we love that they go to play for the Phillies, some of them end up going to other teams too along the way, and they take that seed that you've helped plant to other teams, and they're helping other chapters sometimes in different ways. They're spreading the cause. Maybe they did the ice bucket challenge, and people thought that it was their first time doing it, but there was something that took with them for a long time.
You're absolutely right, Tony. We've had over 50 of our players make it to the major leagues, and I'm not just talking about to the Phillies. As you said, they've been traded through the years in various moves that the Phillies make, and as you said, the seed has kind of been spread to so many of the major league organizations, and these young men who are now playing professionally at the major league level have a good sense of what the ALS Association is about, because you are a nationwide organization, and they take their knowledge, knowing what they've learned here the one year that they become waiters, and hopefully they put it to good use in the markets that they're now playing in and serving in.
Well, I want to go into something that we were talking about, and that's that we're in this journey together, as Allison said. You're talking about the journey of the players from the minor leagues to major leagues, and their journey started before then, obviously, when they were kids. But the walk itself is a journey. It's a 2-mile walk, and there's a couple different components to it. There's the setup. There's the ribbon cutting at the beginning, and we always have someone special at the front, including Jim. And Allison really holding the ribbon tight so people can cut it. but we have that. We have the pictures of group pictures, and we have the award ceremony at the end. So for both of you, what are some of your favorite moments that happen at the walk? Because it's not just people coming together, walking a couple miles, and going home.
Well, I think most recently, something that I thought was pretty cool. For many years, there was a gentleman by the name of Mickey Morandini, who, if you're a Phillies fan, know exactly who he is. He played second base for the Phillies, and we were fortunate enough to have Mickey come and manage our team for a couple of years here in Lakewood. He was obviously indoctrinated into the ALS Association through the event that you hold at the Phillies every year. And when Mickey came here for 2 years, he's a wonderful guy. He and his wife, Peg, have been honored by your organization for all their hard work that they've done through the years when she was part of the Phillies Wives organization and all that Mickey did. I actually got Mickey to come out the 1 year to Seaside and cut the ribbon, and you can imagine the excitement and the thrill that so many of the kids and adults like myself had when he showed up. He signed autographs and very committed to your organization. Ellen Phillips, we all know, happened to be there that day, and she was very excited and surprised to see Mickey because they've had a long-standing relationship through the years. And in addition to raising money, as we do, we also build partnerships, we build friendships, we build that into the equation. And as you said previously, Tony, with players going and spreading the seed into all the other markets across America, I think it's a great thing that we do here with the walk and the celebrity waiter event.
Great. So, Allison, some, like I said, there's other parts of the walk that are specific that people don't know about their first time. What are some of your favorite parts of the walk itself?
Well, since we moved to the Blue Claw Stadium, First Energy Park, one of the things that we've been able to do that has been really I think has been great is we actually get to walk on the warning track around the field, and the folks, you know, they start the walk, and as you mentioned, it's a 2 mile journey or 2 mile walk, and they sort of head away from the ballpark, and then they come back, and there's a moment where they're almost everybody who's at the walk is walking around the warning track, and so you see all of the teams together. You see folks in their brightly colored T-shirts, the T-shirts with a picture of the loved one that they're walking for, or maybe their favorite flower, or there's always some connection back to the person they're walking for, and you see them all walking on the track at that moment. It's a rainbow of colors, and it really every time I see it, I'm all, you know, it's again, it sort of puts it into perspective that everybody's there to support people with this disease and to support the programs and services that we provide. So that's a great moment for me. I love the ribbon cutting. I always love the ribbon cutting.
Because that's when it feels real.
That's when it feels real. And it actually is a moment for me where I'm like, yes, they started, they're gone. It happened.
Now we can start cleaning up.
Yeah, now we can start cleaning up. It happened. And the award ceremony is always fun too, to recognize the top fundraisers and the top fundraising teams. We always have to, you know, we recognize the top folks, but, you know, we always want to make sure that everybody knows that we appreciate every team that comes out. We appreciate every walker that comes out. And this is a moment for us to thank our supporters. And so for me, that's always a great moment.
Yeah, the ceremony at the end is one of my favorites because, one, I can get some good pictures. That's probably what I have to do. But especially with the rookie teams, because people really want to be in that top three. And it's like everyone starts this journey of raising money, wanting to raise a lot of money. But then when they realize that they can be recognized as one of the top three teams, whether overall or as a rookie or as a youth or individual, that you can see they're all surrounded. Like, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? And that's cool that they want to be recognized. They want to know that they were one of the best.
And the rookie team has been a relatively new, a few years we've started giving it, and that's for a new team. That's the highest fundraising new team, and they just blow you away. They're usually relatively the family of someone who's relatively newly diagnosed, and they just pool together, and we've had rookie teams that have raised an incredible amount of money. So
a lot of times the top rookie team is a top team.
Can be, yes. Sometimes or the top teams. Absolutely. Oftentimes the top rookie team can be in those top three positions.
So it's nice knowing from the ribbon cutting at the end ceremony that we can really help empower them, and in turn they empower us to continue doing the work. So Jim, is there anything else you want to add about what you're looking forward to this year with only a few days left until the walk? You're looking forward to good weather, I hope, too.
Absolutely.
I am absolutely looking forward to good weather. I'm anticipating a great turnout. It seems like every year the event just keeps growing in the number of walkers that we get, the excitement that Allison has been able to create through the years, her connections to the teams, and it just seems like as the years go by with the walk, I have less and less to do. So I guess that means either she's doing more and more, or she's just got it as a well-oiled machine, and it just becomes secondhand now for me to just kind of show up, cut the ribbon, make sure operationally everything is good. And I am looking forward, but I'm really excited again about our 15th annual ALS Celebrity Waiter event. It's the best thing that we do here, in my opinion. It happens to be on May 27th. It'll be in Toms River this year. And it's just an event that's just kind of been born out of some great ideas. And it just grows. And it's amazing when the season starts. We just finished our first 7-game homestand. So many of our fans have already come up to me and said, so when's the Celebrity Waiter event this year? That's always one of the very first questions that I receive season after season. So I know we built a legacy here. We're building on that legacy, and we're continuing to do great things, I feel, for the ALS Association of Greater Philadelphia. And it's something that we as an organization are very proud.
Well, we really appreciate it. I appreciate what you were able to do to empower players as they start their baseball journey, what both you guys are able to do to empower patients and to make this Walk to Defeat ALS successful so we can continue to provide patient care and services for not just in Seaside and Lakewood, but all across this area and really all across the country, planting those seeds. So again, everyone join the Lakewood Walk to Defeat ALS May 2nd. Go online at www.lakewoodwalktodefeatals.org. If you're not in the Lakewood area or you just can't come that day or want to go to another walk or event, go to www.gpcwalktodefeatals.org. That's GPC for Greater Philadelphia Chapter. Or find a lot of other ways to donate and get involved at alsphiladelphia.org. Allison will want me to mention the store. There's a gift center there. You can get things. So there's a lot of ways you can get involved as a walk team, as a donor, as a advocate, or as a volunteer. So thank you, both of you. We look forward to seeing you in a few days and make this walk the best ever.
Thanks.
Thanks for your time, Tony.
All right, we'll see you soon.